Hello and welcome to GuardCast, a podcast that offers insight to soldiers and civilians from subject matter experts across the board. I'm your host, Sergeant Joseph Goldsmith, and thank you for tuning in. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us today. As promised, we have Captain Markey back in the hot seat, and today we're going to talk to you about Title 10, Title 32, and why you need to know about it. Okay, we teased you with the previous episode, and now we're going to tell you. So let's have our subject matter expert here lead the way on this one.
It's great to be back with you, Sergeant. Okay, so we kind of mentioned this a little bit in the last episode, and what it means, you need to know that there's two different things. One is a Title 32 force versus a Title 10 force. And why this is important is exactly what we're getting into today. Mm-hmm. And a Title 10 force is going to be the big A. It's going to be all of your federal services, okay? And the Title 10, you know, and you can read the U.S., you know, the U.S. code on what Title 10 is. And it's an interesting read if you know, having trouble sleeping at night. But what you need to know is the Title 10 force is a warfighting force versus a Title 32, which is a non-warfighting force, okay? And then we said, well, you know, some are one, some are the other, and some can be both. Okay, and who is both? Okay, well, who is both is going to be the state National Guard. So you have the South Carolina National Guard, North Carolina, Georgia, California, New York, you know, all 50 states have a National Guard. Even Puerto Rico does. All the protectorates that we have a National Guard component. Okay, and why it's important to kind of understand how this works as a what they call a dual status force, which is the National Guard, because the National Guard can be called up by the governor of the state of South Carolina to support DISCA, and DISCA is the Defense Support of Civil Authorities. And this is gonna, and I'll talk about a little bit why that's important too, but they can be called up by the governor to support like things like a natural disaster response or, you know, some other thing that requires more resources than the local government agencies can do. Then they'll call in the Title 32 forces and activate them on what's called SAD, which is state active duty. And that's when they activate the National Guard under state active duty as a Title 32 force. Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to make this so complicated? Well, because in 1878, President Hayes enacted what's known, and you may have heard this before, is the Posse Comitatus Act. And what this act tells you, and again, you can read the code on this, and you can go to the wiki and really get educated.
And that's Posse Comitatus.
Yeah. P-O-S-S-E Comitatus. Like posse, like, you know, yeah. Get your posse together. This, and basically what President Hayes wanted to do is he wanted to delineate the federal services, the United States Army, the Navy, Marine Corps, as a warfighting force only. So, And I kind of corrected Sergeant Goldsmith last time.
That was my bad.
We were talking about, you know, getting the Army to show up. Yeah. The Army will never, because of the Posse Comitatus Act, will never show up in Colombia to help.
Right.
Not ever.
Yeah, you won't see any of the U.S. armed forces aside from the National Guard or a state National Guard, you know, come in. That's only foreign affairs.
Right. So all the Title 10 forces only work outside the United States, okay, because they have no authority over, say, and it's a state's rights issue, really, primarily, I think, and because I've read it a couple times, so that's kind of like my understanding of it. So, okay, so now we get that out of the way. So Title 10 is warfighting overseas only. Title 32 forces are domestic forces only. They are never deployed overseas to fight in a war zone if they're only Title 30, because again, you can be one or the other, but you can also be both. So a Title 32 force, like the State Guard, State Defense Forces, are Title 32 only. So they'll never call you up if you're a new recruit wondering, should I join? Mm-hmm. We're never going to call you up and say, hey, you know, we're going to send you to the desert for a couple of months. Never going to happen. Never, ever, ever.
I mean, like World War III would have to happen and everybody would have to be depleted. Right. Sure. And then even in that scenario, we'd still probably only go to our state lines.
Right.
Pending we have state lines at that point. But you know what I mean? Like we are here. You are here to defend your state.
Right.
But you would still have to go through combat weapons training in order for that to happen.
If your medal changed, remember we talked about medals last time, it would have to be included in our medal and authorized by the TAG and the governor of the state of South Carolina to be able to do stuff like that, but we're nowhere near that point. No, so that's right. You know, just to stay in the lane here. So, you know, so now you understand what a Title 32 and a Title 10 force is. You understand that now we have a dual status force and the dual status forces are the state National Guard.
Right.
So South Carolina Army National Guard, South Carolina Air National Guard. Okay. We have those components and those are dual status forces and all National Guards for each of the 50 states and the protectors like Puerto Rico, Guam, and places like that, they have a National Guard that is a dual status force. So that means, and it basically it kind of helps them get around the Posse Comitatus Act because the National Guard, the TAG, answers to the governor of the state of South Carolina. He's appointed by the governor in South Carolina. It can be elected in other states. You know, it depends on the state law, how the actual general is installed. But what that general does, and in this case, and currently now, it's General Arvan McCarty, outstanding officer. I've met him several times, and him and his entire command staff are supportive of the South Carolina State Guard, and we're proud to serve in their command, because again, we're a major subordinate command of the TAG and the National Guard. So if General McCarty gets a call from the Army and says, hey, you know, we gotta send some units overseas, then they will transition from a Title 32 force, or they will be plugged into the Title 10 thing and sent overseas to fight. So Army National Guard soldiers can be deployed and have been deployed since the global war on terror started. So that's why we have a dual status. But when they're in the state, if you see somebody that looks like a soldier, you're more than likely you're looking at either in South Carolina, you're looking at an Air Guardsman if they're wearing a U.S. flag on their uniform. Or if you see a South Carolina flag, that's a state guard.
State guard, right.
Okay, so that's how you kind of tell the difference because we're distinct enough, but we definitely look and we should hope to always act the part as a soldier, you know, as an officer. So you see my face, you would never see this on my face.
In
my
right, uniform. Yeah.
So I'm not apologizing for it because, you know, I also work for a living and I have a private life also.
And remember, in previous episodes, we've talked about that, how you still can have a life, right. You know. And then when it's time, it's time.
Right. You know, but when you got to clean this up,
right.
I got to do a military funeral. You will not see any of, you know, any crazy on me.
Exactly.
I will look the part and I will act the part. But again, so here's what we got. We got the Posse Comitatus Act that tells the states that we meaning the federal government, will never send in the military to help you do anything. We're not going to do police actions. We're not going to do any of those things. So on the other flip side of that, you have the Title 10 versus Title 32. And in a Title 32 situation, like in South Carolina, I'll talk about what I know instead of going into things I don't know about. The Title 32 forces then are activated for state active duty. So let's say we have a hurricane and you know something happens across state, or we have an ice storm in the upstate or flooding in the low country. So, you know, wherever, right? They can call upon the National Guard to send in reinforcements for local emergency management divisions or departments, however they're organized in the counties, because we have 46 counties in the state of South Carolina, and each county has an emergency management director or leader. And then you have the state, which has the South Carolina Emergency Management Division in Columbia on Fish Hatchery Road, And they manage the local support of the local, because all disasters are local. So we're here in Horry County right now. If Horry County Emergency Management gets a phone call from the city of Myrtle Beach Fire Department saying, hey, you know, we're getting overrun with a wildfire or a forest fire somewhere here at the beach, or something happened, we need help, then they'll call up their chain and start sending in resources. And if it gets to the point where it's overwhelming the local resources or regional resources, then they can tap the National Guard and activate them for state active duty to help with sandbagging, to help with moving supplies, because they have much bigger equipment and they can bring in truckloads of people, truckloads of equipment or supplies to help manage and mitigate, you know, the damage from a disaster. Right. So that's what the state active duty allows the National Guard to do. We are also a major subordinate command of the National Guard. So before they get activated, they'll call upon the State Guard in some cases. And it depends on the type of mission, because if we're not trained for it on our metal, they're not going to call us. Now, we can help, you know, move beans and blankets and things like that if that's, you know, if that's going to help, but that's what we do. So, you know, we have specialty units that we talked about this last episode with the major subordinate professional services command that can be TD-wide to areas that are necessary to help support.
And we could have portions, you know, of our guard, you know, that are sent on a mission. Like we might not get activated at the state level. It might only be, you know, the engineering corps might get activated and they have to go out, and it might only be a handful of them.
And for a short period of time, just to fill a gap.
Exactly. Or the JAG Corps might be utilized for something. Right. Or we might just be called, you know, to be a force multiplier.
That's exactly what it's for.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if National Guard's got it under control, but they just don't have enough manpower there, you know, command might come down and call our colonel, and then he might send out, you know, go out to the company commander and say, hey, I need 15
bodies.
Yeah, exactly.
I need 15 bodies. Then, and they'll tell us time and duration. Say, hey, you know, we need something, you know, it's Sunday now. We need somebody by next Friday at 4 o'clock. We need 20 people to do this, this, and this. Who's available? And then we'll get our resources together and report up our chain of command. Hey, you know, we can handle this mission with Alpha. But if it's a long duration mission, think about this too, is, you know, it's all well and good. Everybody wants to run, but do this. And I've done this before. I've been on deployments where they say, oh, we're only going to need you for 3 days. And then 10 days later, you know, you're slogging through it, you know, and hoping, when am I going to get home? When am I going to get relief? They essentially give you the mission parameters and say, this is what we expect. Right. And this is why you'll probably hear it if you're a new recruit or you're thinking of coming in, you'll probably hear division headquarters and FMRC kind of say, hey, you know, we're expecting you guys to maintain a 72-hour deployment bag so that you can self-sustain yourself for 3 days. Because generally speaking, you will get, you know, backup. And you'll get people coming in to give you more resources, more food, you know, change of clothing, things like that when it becomes that crazy. But generally speaking, if they say, hey, go for 3 days, we're going to need you to deploy for 3 days, never expect the minimum. That's something piece of advice, pro tip for you, never expect the minimum, because as the resources change and as mission parameters change, you can find yourself in a situation. But if it's a health issue or a family issue, you're not locked in, you know what I mean?
Right.
But, and because we're a volunteer organization, but on its face, when you sign up for something, and this is something we've tried to clarify with folks, you know, since I've been in, you know, a long time now, almost 10 years, that yes, you are all volunteers. I am a volunteer. Sergeant Goldsmith is a volunteer. Everybody that you work with are volunteers. We are not paid, but it doesn't mean that we're volunteers, so we're unskilled. It just means that we're not compensated with monetary compensation.
For now, and I will say this, because this is a point of interest that you do need to know. Some states do pay. You know, some states pay for deployment. Some states actually pay even for drill. There are a few states, I have friends that are in their guards and defense forces, and they get paid the exact same thing as the National Guard. Again, the only difference is that Title 10 and 32 scenario. But here in South Carolina, those conversations are being had.
Right. And that's a story for another episode too, because we can get into that and get into why that's important and, you know, how it makes it more attractive. But back to my point with the, as a volunteer, the thing is that yes, you are a volunteer, but when you sign up to do something, and as the director of operations for the Honor Guard, I can tell you that I treat this pretty, I'm pretty clear on this. And I think that all the other commands in the regular units, when you say, hey, yes, I will be there, now it becomes, you're a volunteer, but now you are a committed volunteer. Right. And that's an important distinction that people have to kind of understand. You can't just go, well, you know, I'm not comfortable and I'm all sweaty and I want to go home. You can go home, but hey, if I can't let you go, if A, it's not safe, B, I still need you because we have to cover this mission. And if you signed up to go, you are now committed to do so. If God forbid there was an emergency, because we've had this issue before in the field, and I think we tried to handle it well. But if somebody is, you know, they bring their medication because they're told to be here for such and such, and they have medication and they run out, then of course we're not gonna right. make you a casualty. Or if something happens to a family member that you had to leave behind and they had to, you know, or if they were evacuating or something happens, of course, you know, we're also a tight-knit family kind yes. of group, but we're not going to say, no, you can't go home. We don't care that little Johnny, you know, broke his wrist. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let them deal with it. That's not how this works either. Like, you know, we're not going to court-martial you and put you in the stockade.
However, though, when you are at a TTX, FTX, on a mission, whatever, UCMJ is still adhered to.
It does apply.
100%.
It does apply.
You know, yeah, like I said, we're not going to get court-martialed, but everything up discharged. To that.
Yeah.
You know.
Because we're not paying you. That means we can't really punish you, but we don't have to have you in the unit.
Right.
And that's not something that's common. And, you know, please understand that
it has happened, though.
I'm not saying it never happened. We've been around since 1670. We're the oldest, longest, continually serving. And some people can argue there are other state defense forces, and we can get into that in another episode too. You know, we're the longest continuously serving state defense force in the nation, you know, tracing our lineage back to 1670 before we were a nation. So our heritage is important. We take it seriously, and we want people to understand that it's important. You know, if you're considering serving as a volunteer in the South Carolina State Guard, it's important because we have a lot of history to mm-hmm. share, and, you know, we do a lot of good for a lot of people. And that's what makes it, you know, the giving of self to provide for the welfare of others is the definition of service. And it's important. It's an important thing to me. And like I said, I've always been proud to wear the uniform.
And that is the mission of the South Carolina State Guard. You know, we are here to protect and to serve, you know, but not in the sense of an armed military operation.
Right.
Right. And again, the whole premise of this episode is that Title 10 versus 32, you know, similarities and differences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are not here to fire upon an enemy. We are here to serve our community members.
Right.
Okay. Our neighbors.
As a force multiplier for the yeah. actual people who do have law enforcement power.
Right.
The, you know, the local fire and EMS folks. We are trained to support those people mm-hmm. because, again, and I may have mentioned this a little earlier about DSCA, the Defense yep. Support of Civil Authority. And I can kind of cap this a little bit maybe okay. to help. When the civil defense, and it was OCD, it was off the Office of Civil Defense, was created, I believe, by President Roosevelt in 1941, about 6 months prior to December 7th, when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. But the OCD, which is the civil defense, was around during the Cold War years. And it was actually, it kind of fell by the wayside because what the civil defense thing was to help organize the resources of before emergency management, because FEMA was created in 1979, which basically did away with the civil defense thing. And what FEMA did under President Carter, when he instituted it from 79 through 2001, FEMA became the federal government's support arm to try to help manage disasters at a national level, and then the local, all the way down to local and community levels. And what they kind of found is that it was a very regimented, and it was originally staffed by prior Cold War military folks. And so they kind of treated it as a, you know, as a a sledgehammer instead of a finessing tool. So not until after Hurricane Andrew in 92, the directors up until that point kind of treated it very, very cold, and it was very standoffish. You've probably heard this joke, you know, the nine scariest words in the English language is, hello, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help, right? That's kind of where that came from, because that was the mentality. And then when director James Lee Witt came in the Clinton administration in the 90s, through the end of the 90s and 2000, it became a more customer-centric, is how James Lee Witt actually created and recognized after, especially after Hurricane Andrew, is that how do we organize these resources to make it so that the Title 32 side, because we don't want to send the Army, and you know, right, that and trying to clarify that for folks, and they actually got to the point where, and this is probably going to be a story for another episode, because I'll wrap this piece up, because FEMA became, you know, well, we're in charge. And then James Lee Witt came in and was like, hey, we're not really in charge. How can we really provide you the resources you need, training, you know, centralized training of best practices across the country, and how all these things can work so we can make a more resilient nation and a more prepared nation? And that's kind of like where we really started. We could probably get into a whole episode on that bit. But then it kind of changed after the creation of Homeland Security. And again, that's a whole nother story. But to the bottom line is, the Title 32 forces, our job as a Title 32, because we're a Title 32 only in South Carolina State Guard, our job is to be a force multiplier. Sergeant Goldsmith brought that up, and it's a great point, because we're not the primary agency on anything that we do. Neither is the National Guard. And that's when the civil defense came out, that they were kind of like, you know, we're coming in and we're taking over. And you've probably seen old movies where, you know, the Army shows up and throws the sheriff out of the office and takes over. It's not how this is supposed to work. And that's why that's kind of why I brought it up. But we're a force multiplier. So if you have a law enforcement background and you want to join the PMD, and then the local, like we've had the city of Myrtle Beach call us and say, hey, we don't have enough officers on duty right now after Hurricane Matthew, I think it was, when the Spring Maid Pier went down, to guard this area, because people were just climbing all over these broken pieces of the pier. And so they brought us in, you know, in 3rd Battalion, said, hey, can you guys like put a cordon up over here? You know, we'll make sure you guys got food and resources, but we need somebody to guard to keep the public safe by keeping them away from this hazard area. So that's what they use us for. So then, you know, the three officers, well, four officers from the city of Myrtle Beach that they would have to post there 24 hours a day until they get it cleaned up, they used us, and we're able to use their law enforcement officers to continue to investigate crime.
Right. Yeah. Doing what they're supposed to be doing. Right.
Instead of being, you know, right. It sounds like a boring job, but it's an important job, you know, and that, because it helps make us a more effective and more safe, resilient society here in South Carolina.
And if you're prior, I mean, just think when you're out, you know, standing on post, you know, if you're just standing there, you know, guarding the gate.
Yeah.
It's the same type of scenario in that type of scenario. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You know, and not everything is fun and glamorous, but what we're doing is most certainly appreciated. And two, it's necessary, because we don't always have enough resources to just, we can all just sit here and wait for the cops to show up, or wait for the EMTs to show up at the fire department. But if we can do something to help and keep, you know, protect lives, protect property, and protect, you know, what makes this state so great, then it's I feel that it's our duty, especially as state guardsmen, to do so.
Well, and just think, you know, if you're, you know, down here in the Lowcountry, you know, flooding is a thing. And, you know, if you're trapped in your house, and then out of nowhere, you look down and here comes a John boat, and you see, you know, individuals on that boat that are in uniform, you automatically are going to feel better about yourself, because you know, help is on the way. You know, I mean, yeah, you're going to feel good regardless of seeing anybody on there, but, but yeah, they might be the nine most, you know, dangerous words, the scariest, scariest words, but you're still going to feel good about it, you know? And again, allowing, you know, police to be freed up to do what they need to be doing. And that's, you know, you know, stopping crime from happening during that disaster event, and then us being trained to handle those situations and know, you know, how to keep a situation under control until a dedicated expert in that field is able to arrive, whether it's fire, you know, a paramedic or law enforcement or whatever the case might be, you know, that's right. Engineers come in, whatever. So, I didn't think to mention this, but if this is your first episode with Cat Mark, now you can understand why he has a bachelor's and two masters, you know, in, you know, emergency, emergency and disaster management, as well as Homeland Security and Defense. So he knows his stuff, you know, that's why I love talking to him. I mean, every time, you know, there's a drill, a road trip, anything. I mean, I'll spend, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours, you know, listening to him, you know, talk if we're doing death by PowerPoint.
A fountain of useless knowledge is what I
well,
am. Or sometimes useful. I have a couple answers to it.
But then like we'll leave and you know, we're driving home and I'm on the phone with this guy.
Yeah.
You know, and he's giving me more information.
And the wife hates it. The wife's like, oh God, he's talking to him again.
Yeah. So, you know, it is what it is.
But we do have fun.
Absolutely. We do 100%. It is a lot of fun. It truly is. It's a giant, you know, tight-knit community. You know, you could say family.
Dare I say
family. Yeah, dare you say family, you know, and we're spread out all over the state, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, you know, if you wear a hockey jersey and you're somewhere else, you know, totally different, and somebody's like, oh, you know, it's that type of thing, right. You know. You have no idea who that person is, but you have that moment of connection. And that's how it is with us. You know, I mean, there's individuals I haven't seen, you know, more than once or twice because life happens and sure. they maybe had to go to ready reserves, you know, which is our reserve component, you know, for a while. And then came back and it's like, hey man, I haven't seen you in 6 months, you know, how you doing? Oh, doing good. Just got real busy at work type of a deal.
Right.
But anyway, we can pontificate. We go on and on and on. So thank you for listening. If you haven't done so, if you like what you're hearing, like, subscribe, and share.
Or if you have any questions or you need some clarification on something that we may have said or wasn't clear the way that I presented it, comment down below, and we'll definitely get back with you. If Sergeant Goldsmith doesn't know the answer, he will find the person that does for you.
He'll know the answers.
Guy is outstanding.
So thank you again for being on. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. And, thank you so much.
We'll see you in the next episode.
All right. Take it easy, guys. Take care.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll see you in the next episode. This is Sergeant Joseph Goldsmith, out.